AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Eat local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week, Victor's 1959 Cafe. Join me. Get some great Cuban food. The breakfasts over there are sensational. Great dinners there as well. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Dermot Flanagan is my dear friend from Ireland. He's a lawyer over there. He is also the godfather of my children, and he is kind enough usually to join us around St. Patrick's Day to talk about Ireland and things going on overseas, and he's kind enough to join us today. Hey, Dermot.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. This is actually, we got stuff to talk about. Now, well, first of all, I'll ask this. In your mind right now, you and I have been talking for 15 years about Ireland. How is Ireland doing right now as far as a country in the EU?
No, Ireland's doing very well. We've spoken through the good times, then the bad times,
yes.
The good times again. Thankfully, everything going very well. Thriving economy. 6.4% growth in GDPR this year. It's going well again. You know, the boom bust economies, the way they work. We're on the we're heading on the boom cycle of that, and let's see what happens after that. So thankfully everything going well.
That's a magnificent return. Is there anything particular that caused that return?
Not really, internationally, you've probably seen yourself, there's a boost in America, there's a boost in Europe, there's a boost in the emerging economies. So we ride that wave as well as everybody else. If things are going well across Europe, generally speaking, Ireland tends to top the growth levels there. Thankfully, it's a lot to do with the type of economy we have. We're very much involved in the high tech sectors, the pharmaceutical sectors. And that it just when the rest of the world is doing well, we kind of ride that wave, probably at the top of it. Mm-hmm. So, nothing more than that, really. I was watching the American figures recently. In terms of employment, you're doing quite well as well.
We are, but there's they're we're starting to get to a point now where the debt load is getting to be too much here, but I don't think Ireland seemed to have learned their lesson from the last economic turndown. They don't have too much debt load, do they?
Look, they're working on it. The debt load was always quite big. It was big in the 80s, got knocked down towards the 90s, went back up again in the last downturn. We're managing it. We're paying it back. We're a very small economy. We're in terms of size-wise, you're between the north and south, you're looking at 5 million people. So mm-hmm. we get hurt badly by worldwide downturns, but we bounce back pretty quickly when the bounce comes, and that's where we're at the moment.
We have to talk
debt
about
is manageable.
We have to talk about Brexit as this is a huge problem for Ireland.
The
British decision to leave the EU, that's their decision for the most part. They don't have a border with the EU outside of Northern Ireland. Obviously, there's been a border there. They've been desperately trying to. It's almost like they never thought about this before the Brexit vote, and afterwards they said, "Oh my God, we have to put a hard border up on Northern Ireland again," which is not something which goes over. The idea of a hard border going back between Northern Ireland and Ireland, that's not something that's going over very well in Ireland, correct?
Not just Ireland, but the rest of Europe, to be blunt with you. First of all, what you said at the beginning there, they never thought about it. They never thought about anything when they voted on that particular decision to leave. I understand, I think I said it to you last year, why they left. It's the majority of people who voted yes to leave, voted because they felt absolutely, just not attached to Westminster, to their government. They voted because outside of London, there's extreme poverty in the United Kingdom. That's just the truth of it. They blame that on the European Union and the free movement of peoples across Europe. But essentially, it was very much the same reasons why I think people voted for Donald Trump, because they just felt left behind, completely left behind. So that's why the UK voted. In terms of Northern Ireland, you've been to Ireland. The border is not like a normal border. It's not a straight line. It's country roads. It's it's fields, it's houses that I know of farms that one half of the farm is in the Republic of Ireland, one half in Northern Ireland. They did not think about that at all. And the big thing about Brexit is you cannot put a hard border back up in Ireland. Last time there was a hard border, this is sounds terrible, Matt, but people were killed. Mm. And that will happen again if there's a hard border again. I think the UK know this, Westminster know this, but they've no idea at all how to get themselves out of the situation, out of the hole they've dug. And 27 countries in Europe can't be wrong. Every single country, the largest trading bloc in the world, 550 million people, believe that Britain have made a mistake. But they don't know how to... They don't know how to go back on it. They just don't know how to do it.
They're terrified of their voters. And so, yeah, they're going to go through with this. When we had the occupied, I mean, we've actually had a pretty good resolution after the occupation of Northern Ireland, the removing of the borders, all the work with Sinn Féin. It's been brilliant. I just can't believe these morons didn't think this through at all.
Well, America sponsored the Good Friday Agreement. They got it across the line, in fairness to them. It's to their credit. It was one of the greatest achievements, I think, in diplomacy that they have achieved, frankly. And it was a wonderful thing. And since then, the amazing thing is the trade between North and South. Northern Ireland's a tiny, it's six counties. I mean, it's not even the size of your smallest state. It's incredibly small. And they rely on Southern Ireland for almost everything at this point in time. But everybody... Great. Britain and Ireland get on great. Everything is working really, really well. And this whole Brexit threatens to go back to when I was a child, when I remember that every single week on the radio, we'd have another death on the border, we'd have another killing, we'd have another bombing. And what's just not being thought about at all in Westminster is that's where we're going again. Without a shadow of a doubt, that's where we're heading again. Be it immediately after Brexit, or 12 months after Brexit, or 24 months after Brexit, that's where we're heading again. And nobody wants that. Absolutely nobody wants that. But it's one of those anomalies where I respect Britain's decision to leave the EU. If they want to leave, that's absolutely fine by me. I mean, I don't understand why you'd leave the largest trading bloc in the world. But if they want to, fully respect that. But they signed up to an international treaty, a Good Friday Agreement, sponsored by the US, co-signed by all parties. And now they just want to throw it away, essentially. It doesn't make any sense in Ireland. And I don't think anybody fully understands the feeling here that it will result in violence.
A border wall is not going to work there. And there have been some...
You can't. You just can't do it.
There have been some suggestions that Northern Ireland will be treated, I don't know, kind of like its own country, that the hard border would be Northern Ireland outside of Northern Ireland. So basically, you'd have to export things out of Great Britain into Northern Ireland as a way to prevent that from happening. How is that being received? Is that a practical solution?
You know, there's the old expression, an Irish answer to an Irish question, which essentially means that it shouldn't really work, but it does work. The difficulty is the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, have 12 members in Westminster, and they currently control the Conservative Party because they are they prop them up, only 12 members. And the DUP traditionally would not be the most rational. They'd be the extremist on the unionist side. And as long as they are propping up the Conservative Party, we will not get an agreement between Europe, Westminster, and if you like, the Republic of Ireland. It's a pretty sad situation, really. But the Conservative Party, Theresa May, Prime Minister, are very, very concerned with just conserving, with protecting and just making sure that the Conservative Party exists into the future as opposed to doing what is best for their country. Now, in case I come across as the stereotypical Irish guy, you know, Matt, my wife's London. Mm-hmm. I'm not in any way anti-British. I wish them the best. They are very good to this country. We are very good to them. I'm not banging an old drum from hundreds of years ago, but that is the simple fact. They've got themselves into a position where they can't do the right thing. They can't do the right thing. And the right thing is simply to revoke Article 50, which is the article that allows them to leave the EU, and they can do it unilaterally and just remain because it makes no sense what they're doing. The majority of the polls in the UK at the moment, a majority of the polls in the UK say that the people would vote yes to stay in the EU if the referendum happened again, because they were sold a pup, as we said. They were sold a lie.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. And that's the crazy part of this whole thing, is that the British government could basically just put away this non-binding referendum and say that there were too many lies that were told at this time. This is not what you were sold. We can explore this again later on, but for the time being, for the betterment of this country, we're going to stay here, because England has lost a lot of business and money, correct?
Well, in the last few weeks alone, one trillion, not a billion, 1 trillion sterling worth of investments left the UK. And the irony of this is the MP who leads the largest faction of the Leave, the Brexiteer vote, is... Have you heard his name?
We're kind of losing him a little bit here. What was that name once again? What was that name once again, Dermot?
Jacob is the MP, the Member of Parliament, who is the leader of Leave, the Brexit. Okay? His personal investments, his personal investment portfolio from London to Ireland about 8 months ago.
So he's not going to get nearly as hurt. No, you're still there. But he's not going to get...
He's in the UK advocating Leave Europe, but he made sure that his personal investment portfolio moved to a country that was not going to leave the EU. So, you know, you have this anomaly where politicians who support Brexit don't want to lose anything by it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy what's happening at the moment, and it makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. And then the biggest fear... in the Republic of Ireland is that we're back to a situation where we have hard borders or semi-hard borders, and those who support the bullet rather than the ballot start taking charge again.
Does the Good Friday Accords, do they overrule this in any way? Is there some legal finagling?
Well, that then depends on your interpretation or your following of international law. The Good Friday Agreement is signed by all parties, and it's co-guaranteed by the United States and various other countries. And effectively, that should supersede Article 50. No country should unilaterally breach an international accord. But right now, I don't see how Britain... And the Good Friday Agreement, guarantees there will be no hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. But I don't see how Britain can leave Europe and adhere to the Good Friday Agreement. It's just not possible. I know that 22 members of the Houses of Representatives in the US have signed a letter sent to Theresa May to say that, look, if they're going to breach the Good Friday Agreement, they will not support any trade agreement between the US and the UK.
Could Ireland just not care? And, you know, because I know that there are people in the EU who want that hard border there, but it's Ireland. Ireland doesn't want to put a border up. Northern Ireland, they don't want to put a border up. They just don't put a border up. Is that even a viable option?
Not really, because we are members of the European Union. And, you know, you have to remember the European Union are 27 nations who got together and said, we want peace in our time, we want peace in Europe, so we're going to trade together. So we're not going, we're not going to allow a country outside the EU, to use our border as a way to trade with the EU and avoid their obligations under international treaties. So in fairness, you know, we can't do that as a nation. We have the support and of the other nations in Europe, and they have our support, so we can't do that. You're either in or you're out of this club. You know, you can't choose otherwise. I had a great someone said to me recently, and we've all had nights out like this, where you're out for a night with your mates, and one of them says, "This is crap. I don't want to be here anymore. Let's go somewhere else." So they listen to him, and everybody leaves. And after they leave, they realize that guy has no idea where he wants to go. So they find themselves at 2 a.m. in some kebab shop, or in your case, in some fast food takeaway, arguing over why the hell they left in the first place. That's the UK at the moment. They have no idea why they left the EU. They have no idea why they left the EU. And so they're arguing now amongst themselves because they won't accept it was our fault that we left in the first place. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't see the Republic if you like, breaching their obligations under the EU to allow the UK to trade through our back door. But I will say this, we don't want them to leave.
Yeah.
We certainly don't want to see them harmed by leaving the EU. And we wish they'd take another referendum to ask the people, after now that they have all the honest information about what it means, do you really want to leave? Because I don't think the UK would vote again to leave.
I think they'd set it. I wish they would just set it aside at this point. If this does go, if this does go through economically for Ireland, will that be a boon? I mean, obviously, we want to not overlook the troubles that could return on the border, but economically for Ireland, was that be a, would that be a benefit? If
it would be. People say disaster. No, it wouldn't be a disaster. It would be difficult. There'd be tariffs. We do a lot of trade with the UK, but they need our food. We supply them with an enormous amount of the food that they require. We provide them an awful lot of the services they require. Europe has already said if it is going to be a difficulty to us, they'll put aside funds and they will to support. So it'll be a difficult for a short while. But there are markets for our products elsewhere. We want to trade with the UK because, frankly, they're our nearest neighbour. They are, they're good friends. We speak the same language primarily. We don't want to see ourselves having to find other trading partners, but frankly, we will. Mm-hmm. It'll be a hurt in the short term, but not even the medium term. It's not so much about that as that we have come to have an excellent working relationship with Britain, and why would you want to lose that? They and us, we quite frankly rely on each other. So if necessary, trade elsewhere, but we'll get over it before the UK will get over it.
Did you have a nice St. Patrick's Day?
I had an excellent St. Patrick's Day. I think it was incredibly quiet. You know, that's the way I like it.
Yes.
Nice and quiet. It was excellent. Did you have a nice Patrick's Day?
I was down with my mom in South Carolina. We did the traditional corned beef and cabbage. It was very nice. It was just nice being someplace. It was quite tropical down there. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know what tropical is. Remember that? I don't know what tropical is. No, it was excellent. And I actually received a lovely card from Minnesota from somebody over there who has the same dogs as I do, the Irish Water Spaniels. She sent me a lovely card on a Patrick's Day, which is really nice. So, yeah, I got that connection, even though I didn't get to speak with you.
And you do have the Irish Water Spaniels. You've been helping to save that breed.
Yeah. And you know what? You know how much we love them over here. It's in the back of my mind that I'd like to get back over there in the next year or two to visit what's over there. Was there a great parade in Minnesota?
For St. Patrick's Day, yeah, there's a pretty good one over in St. Paul for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you're lucky. they're always better over there than over here. I hope I haven't depressed anybody by talking about Brexit this time.
Actually, you want to know the truth is, I think this is the most honest discussion anyone in this town, at least, has had about Brexit, period. And I think it puts a very stark reality on the mistake that the UK made. Dermot, all my best to Helen, all my best to Tara, Sheena, and of course, Ashin down there. And thank you very much. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. A delight to chat with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, although belated, and all my best to everyone in Ireland.
Right back at you, Matt, and to yours. Take care.
Take care, my friend. Dermot Flanagan, lawyer from Saggart outside of Dublin, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets near.